Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I think this music stand is here for that. It's here to hold some notes. Good morning. Today is our annual meeting, immediately following this service. Hope you will stay. It's customary for the rector on the day of the annual meeting to offer what is often referred to as the state of the parish. And rather than doing that at the annual meeting, it has become my custom to do that during the Sunday services. And so that's the context of what I'll be sharing with you this morning. So sit tight. So it's a wee bit longer than what I usually speak for, but we'll do okay as we get into the annual meeting with timing. What I'd like to do this morning is not so much focus on the past 20 months of the pandemic, although I may refer to some things during that time, but rather this morning, look at where we're going. Where we're going this year. This year. And for me, this year begins today. This is by no means a comprehensive report of everything about this year. That would take much more time than I have in this time for a homily, but rather some highlights of what I think are significant things that we are about as a parish and will be about this year. This year, we will join together with Habitat for Humanity and once again become part of the Episcopal Build, where we join with other Episcopal congregations in the area and build a house for Habitat for Humanity. And that house will be built here in Cary. And we'll be part of that. The build begins on January 15th, 2022. There's a meeting this week of folks who will be engaged in that. But this year, we'll build a home here in Cary for a family. We'll work together with folks in relationship with them and also with the family that will live in this home. This year, as a member of One Wake, we will continue along with over 40 other congregations, faith traditions, not-for-profits, and work together towards the three areas that we have highlighted of education opportunities for all who live in Wake County, living wages, and affordable housing. And Javier will be speaking later at the annual meeting about One Wake and some of the efforts, of course, we're putting into affordable housing as well. So I'll let Javier do that later. I don't want to steal his what he'll be sharing with us. This year, the St. Paul's Refuge for Refugee Ministry is excited to welcome our eighth family to the United States, our eighth family. We are next on the list of sponsors with what's called the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, referred to as USCRI. We are next on the list for hosting a refugee family who may be from Afghanistan. We don't know that yet. But wherever they are from, we'll welcome them with open arms, as we have the previous seven families. To start sponsoring a family, we're requested to fully furnish an apartment for that family before they move in, and provide food for at least their first week. And following that first week, we assist in getting the children registered for school, taking the folks, the children and families, to health department for evaluations and vaccinations, getting folks connected to doctors and dentists, helping to find jobs, and so much more. The relationships that we build with these families is life-changing for all of us. This year, we will continue joining with Rise Against Hunger as we package food for worldwide distribution. This Rise Against Hunger is just a mind-boggling organization, what it is able to do. In just 2 weeks, during the Thanksgiving meal packaging event, we aim to package over 125,000 meals. Let me say that again. We aim to package over 125,000 meals. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing this, to be distributed around the world through school feeding programs, orphanages, health clinics, vocational training programs, and also in response to crises that arise in our world, like the one happening now in Haiti. This year, St. Paul's Episcopal Farm Worker Ministry will celebrate Hermano Day once again as we collect clothing and bedding and other necessary items for farm workers. We'll also offer monetary donations this year not just gifts, but also gift cards and making donations of money to support this. Last year, in the midst of the pandemic, we reached an all-time record-breaking amount of monetary donations of over $4,000 that came from you. This past year, the Episcopal Farm Worker Ministry had a very ambitious backpack drive. You may remember this. And we at St. Paul's contributed 100 full backpacks, a number of calculators, 800 gift cards, and many school supplies that valued over $8,000 that came from you. Several members of St. Paul's went to the Farm Worker Ministry to participate in the backpack distribution as well. This year, our St. Nicholas Day will continue the generosity of past years. This past year, in 2020, the pandemic did not stop St. Nicholas. Oh, it didn't have the festive feeling that we've always become accustomed to, where we bring the gifts up and put them in the big red bags. But what that day is about still happened. Despite limitations, the generosity of our parishioners was as gracious and overwhelming as years past. Although it was out those traditions, the people of St. Paul's donated more than $20,000. You did that. 40 children were given gifts from Families Together, an ecumenical organization helping homeless families. 40 children received gifts. 233 children from Comwell Health, a not-for-profit health system in North Carolina serving migrant families of seasonal farm workers who remain throughout the winter each year. Each child received a $50 gift certificate from either Walmart or Amazon. The gift card drive was such a success that there was enough money left to also provide each family served by Comwell Health an additional $25 gift certificate. Gifts purchased by the ministry with the resources and funds you gave provided for 40 children, gifts for 40 children of healing transition, which is residents who are in rehab who are homeless and addicted men and women. We'll do that this year as well. This year, the clergy will continue to respond regularly to folks in this community, in this Carey community, who find themselves in need of financial assistance. You may not always see this, but week to week in our lives here at St. Paul's, folks come here to our doors, call on the phone, looking for financial assistance. And in 2021, we were able to offer 10 times the amount of support than we did in 2019. 10 times the amount. Just as of October, we clergy distributed $18,000 in financial support. Why? Because you gave that. And we are so thankful. So thankful for your generosity. I know all of us clergy take seriously the stewardship, the responsibility of those funds, and I stand here to tell you that your gifts have changed lives. And we'll continue to do that in 2022. This year, renovations of the education building will be complete, and the St. Paul's preschool will have more space for children, larger rooms, as well as new accessibility to the playground, and overall a more secure space. The children's ministry will have enlarged classrooms for Sunday school. Kids Club will have a larger and more accommodating space for childcare that we provide during Sunday services and other events and gatherings when we offer childcare. We'll have an enlarged kitchen, an incredibly enlarged kitchen. I can't wait for you to see it when we celebrate the opening of that facility and start giving tours. It will enable us to prepare food for so many events that we have throughout the year. We'll have a parish hall, which will be so much more accessible and, when necessary, usable when other activities are going on in the building. This year, we are blessed to have Alice join us as St. Paul's Associate Rector for Children's and Youth Formation. And that's where Alice is right now with the children during the chapel service. We rejoice that Alice will be ordained a priest on December 11th in just a couple of weeks, and I'll be sending out a letter to all of you about more information about that. As someone who's been ordained like myself for over 42 years, I'm excited for Alice as she begins her priestly ministry here at St. Paul's. And I admire her tremendously for accepting this call to ordain ministry of priesthood, especially in the midst of these times, during this time of COVID, where it's not as easy to encounter and meet folks as it is when we're into our full kind of everyone's being here and we're encountering each other. But I admire Alice so much for her call to priesthood and being with us, accepting our call to her to join us. As we all grow in faith together, Alice is that priestly presence fostering a community of meaningful relationships among children, youth, and families. And while some of that is relational, it's also administrative and programmatic, as Alice supervises the children's ministry coordinator and the youth ministry coordinator, while all the committees as well supporting these ministries. And Alice, during announcement time, Alice will have an announcement to make regarding children's ministry. This year, adult formation has returned to Sunday mornings, and we've been very encouraged by those attending, participating, and we'll continue to welcome guest speakers as well as having clergy presentations. We'll also be providing seasonal offerings during weekdays as well as Sunday offerings. And I just want to thank Javier for leading such a significant part of our growing in faith. Javier does a lot of things here at St. Paul's, but this is one where it has just taken off and grown. And while all of us clergy presenting and giving offerings, it's Javier who invites us to gather together and in that creativity of developing topics and series that we offer you. This year, our music ministry is exploring options in the midst of an ongoing pandemic, looking at new ways for choirs to provide live music. And let me tell you, it ain't easy. Protocols regarding singing are very specific and sometimes restrictive for all of our safety. It may be one of the most challenging areas of church life, not just St. Paul's, but church life in general, as we return to a new normal. Rusty has been and continues to be a remarkable leader in all of this. And we will continue with recorded music at Sunday liturgy, as we are today, as we experiment with possibilities for live music. We are blessed to have Rusty leading us. This year, we hired Jeff Kager as the permanent part-time facilities manager. I don't know if I can communicate to you how significant this is. We have never, in the history of this parish, in the history of 63 years, we have never had this kind of a position. We have 13 acres here at St. Paul's, 5 buildings, 36 air conditioners. You want to get into the weeds, 36 air conditioners, who knows how many windows. There are actually 6 buildings if you count the wonderful new shed that Ron Barbie was able to help us build. Check it out just behind this area here, behind the kids' club. These 13 acres and these buildings are so important to the ministry that we do in this place, and we are the stewards of what's been given to us by God. And I'm just so thankful that Jeff has accepted this position and will lead us in the care and upkeep of these grounds and these facilities. This year, pastoral care will continue growing more and more as we are able to finally visit people in person. I think this was perhaps one of the most challenging areas of life during the pandemic. At times, being unable to visit folks at homes and in hospitals, as well as continuing care retirement communities like Glen Eyre and Searstone, assisted living communities, and independent adult communities. This year, we're going to be able to return to visiting folks there and also offering liturgical services in some of those facilities, as well as visiting. Of course, always following COVID-19 protocols. This year, on Christmas Eve, because of the pandemic, we will not be having the three services that we normally have on Christmas Eve. Instead, we're going to have four. Instead, we're going to have four, with the 4 o'clock being the children's Christmas Eve service. We'll have four services at 4, 8, 6, and 10. Due to COVID-19 protocols, we don't want to restrict attendance. There's just so many folks that we're able to have in this building at one time, and so we're spreading that out by having four Christmas Eve services. Those are just some highlights of what we can look forward to this year in 2022, and there's just so much more, so much more. I could stand here for another hour and a half. There's so much to be thankful for here at St. Paul's. As I begin in 2022, my 24th year as rector, I've never been as proud to serve in your midst. We have come through and continue to come through quite a time these past 20 months. We've been through things here in the history of this parish in the 23, 24 years I've been here. But these last 20 months have been incredible. And I've never been as proud to serve with the clergy and staff here at St. Paul's. Our relationships with each other have strengthened and deepened, even despite a time of so much separation from each other due to the pandemic, with this building being closed down. We've carried each other through these times. And I'm thankful for how the clergy and staff have carried me through these uncharted times. Each has done so much more than any job description has asked them to do. I thank Melanie Fairbrother, St. Paul's office manager, even during the pandemic when none of us were able to be in the building, including Melanie, who worked from home, the office actually never closed. If you made a phone call, it was answered. You sent an email, it happened. That was remarkable. Continued throughout this time. I thank Brandy Satterfield, our financial assistant, working from home for months. The finances of this parish never skipped a beat. Staff were paid, bills were paid, and a very successful annual audit. Every year we have an audit, a financial audit. A very successful audit was done, which gave great praise to how we conduct our finances, which is due to Brandy's leadership. A PPP loan application was successfully prepared, submitted by Brandy, and was approved. I thank Rusty McKinney, our music minister. Where would our worship be this past year without Rusty? As soon as Sunday worship went virtual on Facebook Live, Rusty remarkably began having choir members recording hymns from their own homes, individual choir members standing in their living room, their kitchen, their bedroom, wherever they found a space, and recorded a hymn. And Joe playing the organ from her own home and submitting those recordings. And through the technology that Rusty mastered so well, we hear every Sunday music and hymns that you would be convinced are being sung just from inside this church. And I thank Joe, our organist, for all she did to contribute to the remarkable efforts of weekly Sunday worship. I thank Andrea Dreyer, our music associate, who has contributed greatly to this past year of recorded music. I thank Zach Rugen, our interim youth coordinator, sitting over there. During the pandemic, Zach has been so creative and continued to be passionate about gathering the youth through Zoom, offering formation as well as fun times together for our youth. And now we are back in person again, gathering, and that youth program is continuing to grow. I thank Natalie Sroka, who served as interim children's coordinator before moving to accept a position in the St. Paul's preschool. Natalie found such creative ways during the pandemic to keep children's ministry alive with weekly resources for families with children, videos, live and recorded prayer service that Natalie organized for the children and that Javier and I would record together, sometimes in person, sometimes live. We'd do all sorts of things with the children. I thank Brooke Barisox, our preschool director. What can I say? I don't want to embarrass her. Brooke not only led the preschool during a pandemic, but also while the education building was closed as it was renovated. And all the classes had to be moved to this building. Rusty gave up the music room for a class. The youth wing was used as a class. All the different areas that were used as classes, kids club as well. Everything had to be relocated. Her leadership with parents, teachers, and children is something I will never forget, ever. I thank Laura Gorman, the assistant preschool director and the nursery kids club director. Laura's love for children and their care is outstanding, whether it is the children cared for in kids club or the children in preschool. Laura's leadership and working together with Brooke are invaluable to the teamwork it takes to create an excellent preschool. And I also want to thank the teachers and teaching assistants. For many of us, we don't see what happens here during the week, but I want to acknowledge folks who are the preschool teachers, who lead and do this incredible ministry that serves our community. I want to thank Jenny Smith, Emily Huff, Victoria Duckworth, Alexis Hetrick, Stacy Dulness, Lindsay Irving, Ashley Gossin, Jennifer Lampori, Donna Spenley, Pam Steffens, Louise Godding, Beth Rossi, Natalie Stroka, Alex Byrne, Elaine Kortz, and of course, Laura Gorman, who helps as well. I want to thank the clergy with whom I am blessed to share ordained ministry. Candy Snively, what can I say but that even during this pandemic, when physical distancing has become the new phrase we've come to know, distant, no touching, we still felt Candy's hugs. Her love and care for all of us was always like a big hug, even in the midst of a pandemic. Her care for pastoral care and for folks in this community are incredible. Tony Wyke, Tony's continued involvement with pastoral care is a blessing to us all, and her wisdom and advice is something of great value to all of us. I know it is to me and has been over the years. And Alice, I'm so excited to have Alice join us as she begins her ordained ministry among us, and I'm looking forward to the years ahead of working together with Alice. Very excited about her being with us. And Javier, working with Javier is a joy. It's a joy and a gift for me and for all of us. He's brought so much to St. Paul's that has moved us forward together as a parish. And I look forward to the years ahead as we continue together with all these folks that I've mentioned. These are the folks who I work with every day. These are the folks I look forward to seeing every day as we work here together at St. Paul's. What I've shared with you this morning is just a glimpse of what this year holds for us. And there is so much more, so much more. Today is also the day we ask you to make a pledge. Your financial commitment to St. Paul's for 2022. If you've not done so yet, please do it later today or tomorrow. Go to the website, go to the pledge button, and make your pledge. Friends, look at what your pledge does. All of what I've shared with you and more would not be possible without your generosity. As we move forward into 2022, the operating budget of St. Paul's will need to grow from what it is this year by about $110,000 to continue the work that we're about. It's going to cost more in 2022. Have you noticed things at home are costing more in 2022 than they did last year? I need your help for us to do that. I know Mary and I are going to be looking to increase our pledge. Can you join us? This year could be one of the most significant ones in our parish's history. We are coming out of a pandemic, and we are the ones who are here. Many have gone before us. We stand on their shoulders. We are now the stewards of this faith community and what it is we're about. Certainly there are unknowns before us. There are so many things to figure out. We are being called to be church in new ways as we move forward. But I know we can do this. I know we can. Look at what we've been able to do just these last 20 months. We need to join together to support the so many areas of ministry that await us beginning today. Let us go forward this year, beginning today, as we worship, serve, and grow together. Thank you.